97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, we're back on this somber day in the sports world as Kobe Bryant tragically lost his life today at the age of 41. It's just a horrible story, and his 13-year-old daughter was also in the helicopter with him, and it's terrible. There's no real way to sugarcoat this, folks. It sucks. Whether you were a Kobe fan or not, there's a human element to this whole thing, and there's a poor woman right now who doesn't have a husband, doesn't have a daughter, and that's what really kills me is the daughter angle of this, of a 13-year-old daughter, because obviously you always want your kids to outlive you, and a 13-year-old especially has her whole life in front of her, and for Kobe to lose his daughter, I'm sorry, for Kobe's wife to lose not just Kobe but his daughter as well. You know, there's a woman out there who doesn't have a husband, doesn't have a daughter, and there's kids out there who don't have a sister and don't have a father, and you feel for them. Obviously, the sports world mourns the loss of Kobe Bryant, as you see it all around SportsCenter today and the NBA and whatnot. But this is a situation that came out of left field, and I think it really truly makes you appreciate the world of sports. I do have to tell you, though, that this weekend's programming is brought to you by Turnersville Jeep. Visit TurnersvilleJeep.com now through January 31st for huge savings on 2020 Jeep and Ram trucks. TurnersvilleJeep.com. Drive a little, save a lot. So we've been reacting all day to the Kobe Bryant news, unfortunately. We've said it a few times today, but we had a show planned, and it was supposed to be a kind of a fun, loose show, and we would, you know, continue to break down and probably overreact a little bit to the Sixers win against the Lakers yesterday and talk about this and that, but it all gets thrown out the window when a living legend passes away suddenly at the age of 41, and that's what Kobe Bryant was. He was a living legend, and he was an icon in the NBA world.
Right. You know what one really got me, I think, more than anything, especially because of how we know the relationship between Kobe and Shaq has been tumultuous at best over the years.
Yeah.
Was Shareef O'Neal, Shaq's son.
That got me, too.
That one hurts.
Yeah, so
he reached out to, and Kobe reached out to him unsolicited.
And that kind of goes back to what I was saying, you know, about Kobe not big-timing his high school point guard, who it wasn't like his high school point guard went on to have an NBA career.
Right.
Or I don't even know if he played in college. So I think that speaks volumes right there, where Kobe probably grew up. Kobe probably watched Shareef grow up and just checking in on him and seeing how he's doing. And I remember a couple of years ago, Matt Barnes, who has a famous feud with Kobe Bryant.
Yes.
And, you know, they would get into it on the court. And Matt Barnes ended up taking his kids as a treat to go play with Kobe Bryant, train with Kobe Bryant. And his kids were probably, I don't know, 10, 11 or whatever. But Kobe would kind of put that to the side. And I have my issues with Kobe as a teammate. At times, I don't think he was the best teammate. And it was mainly because I think he demanded all of his teammates play like him. And it's not the worst thing in the world because his work ethic was second to none. But at times, it wasn't possible to turn Smush Parker into you.
And I think, quite honestly, we see that it's personified in the NBA today as well. Jimmy Butler's the same way.
He is.
It's just, you know, Kobe, Kobe's clearly better than Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler's the same way.
He is. That's a good point. And I love Jimmy Butler, and I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan, mainly because I was an Allen Iverson fan. I was a Philadelphia fan, and AI to me would personify the city of Philadelphia, that toughness, fearlessness, and never winning. That to me was personified the city of Philadelphia. Kobe, flashy, unbelievable, wins a lot. That was the opposite. For me growing up, you know, I never knew a winner in the city of Philadelphia until Allen Iverson came around.
Let me ask you this then, I don't mean this to demean you. I mean this to curiously ask you this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it a you don't like Kobe or you were jealous of Kobe?
Jealous.
Okay, see, and it takes a man to admit that.
I think
there's a lot of jealousy in this city that's pent up, and I think there's a lot of jealousy still in this city that's pent up over certain teams. Like, to me, the people that hate Tom Brady for non-football related reasons are jealous and they won't admit it. So at least you can say that you were jealous of Kobe for his success.
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. It was definitely jealousy because he wasn't on my team. Because the Sixers probably, I mean, look, you weren't going to draft him number one overall out of Lower Merion High School. It wasn't going to happen. I know that people come out there and say, oh, I talked to the Sixers and told them they should. The obvious choice was Allen Iverson, and that did work out pretty well for the city. You probably could have, though, traded and gotten his draft rights because obviously Charlotte was willing to move on. There's the famous story, though, about how he was able to kind of wiggle his way to L.A. because he didn't want to go to New Jersey, and New Jersey was eyeing him and Kerry Kittles at the time, and he was basically threatening to go play pro ball in Italy because he didn't want to go to play with the New Jersey Nets. So he was floating this rumor out that he was going to hold out and go play pro ball in Italy, so they didn't draft him. And sure enough, they didn't. They drafted Kerry Kittles from Villanova. The Charlotte Hornets end up drafting him, and it ends up working his way to L.A. via the trade. So, yeah, a lot of it was jealousy because he was so damn good. And I said this before, you don't hate the crappy players. You laugh those people off.
Yeah.
But the good players you hate because they're damn good. I also had problems with him, as I said, the way he was as a teammate. But you're right. And to play devil's advocate, I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth because I love Jimmy Butler. And you're right. Jimmy Butler is kind of the same way.
The same way.
Same way. So I'm very hypocritical in that sense, and I will be the first one to admit it. But, yeah, a lot of it was jealousy because he was so damn good. And I respected everything he did on the court because he was just a dominant player that would go at you and ruin guys and get in their head and take it as a personal attack. If you just wanted to guard him, he would take it as a personal attack and be like, I'm gonna cook you right now.
When is he eligible for the Hall of Fame? Is it next year?
I have to look it up. I think it's next year. And
posthumously, is he 100%?
Absolutely.
I mean,
he should have been 100%.
You think he's? I got to imagine he's 100% regardless.
Yeah, he should have been 100% regardless.
I would have to imagine definitely. Now that the fact that he won't be there.
And that just...
I think it has to.
And the reality that you'll never get a Hall of Fame speech from Kobe Bryant. While I wasn't the biggest Kobe Bryant fan in the world, and someone would call me a Kobe Bryant hater, and I won't argue with it, that would have been a Hall of Fame speech. Hall of Fame speech I would have wanted to listen to.
He'll become the fourth player in that draft class to go to the Hall of Fame. It's pretty good.
Yeah,
it is. And not only the fourth player, the fourth player within 15 picks. To go to the Hall of Fame.
It's crazy. That draft was low.
Allen Iverson at 1, Ray Allen at 5, Kobe at 13, Steve Nash at 15. It's unreal.
Yeah, it really is. It's that draft was loaded.
And then here's the thing. Not only that, but there were some good players like Stephon Marbury.
I was about to say Stephon Marbury went 4th overall.
Paige Stojakovic, Jermaine O'Neal. Like, these guys are legitimately good players.
Drafted at high school, too.
UClair.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah. And then, you know, guys like Antoine Walker, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, you know, good players.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good draft.
It really is. And Kobe Bryant was
the best.
Yeah, he was the best. I have to admit.
I'm sorry. He's better than Iverson.
He is. I mean, it's Iverson just, he got beat the hell up. That was the problem with Iverson. He just got hammered every night. He would just go out there, and he's a 5'10" guard who
going amongst the trees.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he just, it wore on his body. I mean, the practice rant always cracked me up because it's like, yeah, he doesn't have to practice because he's so banged up.
Yeah, he's hurt.
I will never forget. He's the only player I've ever seen who had a whole ad marketing campaign around his injuries. Do you remember that commercial? That Reebok commercial?
No, I don't think I do.
It's one of the best commercials, and Mike and Wilmington, I'm going to get to you in a second, but it's one of the best commercials I've ever watched because it's him on the trainer's table. You can look it up on YouTube. And they're going through. He's got his headphones on. He's closing his eyes. He's getting focused. And he's going through all of his injuries that he had. The elbow, the arm, the everything. Because, you know, he had a myriad of injuries.
Yeah.
And then it's time to play. And he opens his eyes and takes his headphones off and gets off the trainer's table because he was a warrior. And Kobe was a different kind of warrior for sure, and his work ethic was second to none. And he put the time in, and he was great. And he could have taken the time off, and he didn't. He just kept grinding and grinding and grinding, and he demanded excellence from all those around him, even if at times it just wasn't possible because of talent. You know, he was a real special player, and it's a shame that we lost him today at the age of 41. Let's go to Mike in Wilmington. Mike, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey guys, thanks so much for taking my call.
Yeah, no, thanks for making it, man.
Pardon me if this kind of sounds like a vent, but I've been at work all day long, crazy busy, and just haven't had the opportunity to really get some things off my chest.
Please, so, floor is yours.
I used to live in Los Angeles for like 5 years, basically at his last 5 years. And that place, just talking to my, you know, my family out there, and extended friends and everything, they're absolutely devastated. They're absolutely crushed. He was an ambassador for that city, you know, in a way that maybe only Allen Iverson could do for here or something. It's totally tragic. And, just two things I wanted to get to though. I always thought it was interesting, and it was such a mark of his greatness that in the Olympics, in that last Olympic game, in the gold medal game, in that tight game, pardon me for forgetting what it is. I believe it was against Spain or Argentina. It probably was one of the two. Whenever 7 minutes to go or 8 minutes to go in that game, and it started to get a little hot, and LeBron James is there, and Dwayne Wade's there, and Carmelo's there, and all those guys, they all turned to him. And he got that ball. He took them home. He did. It was not LeBron. It was not Wade. It was not, you know, Durant. It wasn't Chris Paul. It wasn't these guys.
And you know what that is? Because they all grew up idolizing him.
He's also the one that wanted the ball in his hands. And he could do everything. And I know Carmelo was a great shooter out there and all this stuff. You know, I just thought that was a mark of his greatness that hasn't been brought up enough. I mean, his accolades speak for themselves, obviously. Another thing that always sort of bothered me is the thought that Philadelphia booing him at the All-Star game, you know, in 2002. That bothered me because, like, any city would have booed the guy that just beat him in the finals the year before.
So, absolutely.
He didn't get a knock for that.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and Mike, thanks for the phone call, man. I mean, the national media will take shots at Philly every chance they get. You know, I mean, as I said, I'm still holding a grudge because of the we'll rip your heart out. What was he supposed to say? He's getting crap from Joe Hoagie mouth over there, and he's trying to win a championship. Of course he's going to say, we'll rip your heart out. So, it goes both ways a little bit. And I think a lot of the fans in Philadelphia that don't like Kobe Bryant would have loved him if he was on the team.
Of course.
I mean, how could you not?
You would have loved the guy because he was everything you wanted a player to be.
Yeah,
hard nose, tough, didn't take time off, didn't miss shots. He was everything.
You know, was he selfish at times? Absolutely.
Sure.
But the reality is the greats usually are selfish at times. They usually are, give me the ball, I'll take the final shot. And when you have a Kobe Bryant on the team, you're not going to argue it because he's Kobe freaking Bryant, you know? And he was a special player. He was one of the best I've ever seen in my life. And he is someone that you'll tell your kids about, your grandkids about, and he'll be echoed in the same sentiment as MJ and Wilt and LeBron and the all-time greats out there and Bill Russell, because he was just once-in-a-lifetime kind of player, and he definitely gone too soon at the age of 41. Let's go to James in California, who wants to talk Kobe. James, you're on the Fanatic.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good, James. How are you?
Yeah, I'm trying to get over this. What happened to Kobe Bryant?
It's tough to get over, man. I mean, I'm not the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, and it hits home with me. So I'd imagine if you're a big Kobe Bryant fan, yeah, you're not going to get over this in a couple hours because it's man, shocking.
Yeah, it's shocking because I mean I'm 2 hours away from where they happened at. So I mean it's a little shocking. You know, he's the greatest player out there. You know, I mean to die at 41. I mean it's just crazy. You know,
yeah, man. I mean, is there anything that stands out from his career that really meant something to you?
Man, I'm just going back to finals. The finals that he was in. I mean, I guess Boston. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. You know.
Yeah, I mean, single-handedly carried that team to a championship.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned it earlier. He basically had him and Pau Gasol, and that is it.
And a young Bynum.
Yeah, and a young Bynum who actually wanted to play, which credit to Kobe for having that, because, you know, Andrew Bynum just gave up after a while. But
I'll tell you, one person that I know was affecting is Shaq, because, you know, Shaq played with him, his entire career he played with him. So I know it's heartbreaking to him. I mean, it's heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, and James, I understand why, man. Thanks for the phone call. And you can hear it in James' voice.
You can just
voice.
Hear it in his voice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it hurts. And I think a lot of diehard Kobe fans, for obvious reasons, they feel like James today. It hurts. And it's a crappy day. I mean, there's no way to hide it. It's something that came out of the blue, and you're not expecting it. And I don't want to be sitting here discussing the life of a all time great that's gone too soon. And I don't think you do either. I think we wanted to have a show that maybe you get ripped for on Twitter for all this again. But in moments like this, you realize just how frivolous sports can be. It's in a lot of ways, it's more than a game, but in a lot of ways, it is a game. And in a lot of ways, it's life is more important than basketball. And in moments like this, it shows.
There's another day and another show and another time slot that you and I can discuss how we feel the Sixers set plays versus them playing free flow is affecting them. And we can talk about trade deadline moves. We can talk about who the Eagles should draft in the second round with one of their two picks. You know, we could do that anytime. That doesn't matter today. No. I mean, it really doesn't. Again, we talked about this earlier. When you lose someone that is 98, you know, they lived a great life. It's somewhat to be understood. Losing a 41-year-old and a 13-year-old and, what was it, 8 other people?
That's terrible.
That were all young. And the coach of the Cape Cod baseball team, his wife, his daughter, names still coming out. That this is more important.
Yeah,
than Sixers conversation.
It is.
Or Eagles conversation.
You know, I mean, at this a day like this, and I keep saying it, but whether you like Kobe or not, a day like this puts things into perspective. It really does, because you're not, while we take it for granted, and I'll be the first one to do it, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. You just never know. And when Kobe Bryant got into that helicopter today, he wasn't banking on it crashing. And he, I'm sure, figured that he would arrive safely. I'm sure his wife figured he would arrive safely. I'm sure everybody on that helicopter figured that they would arrive safe and sound, like they have done hundreds of times before. And unfortunately, they didn't. And because of that, we lost a lot of great people today. And one of them just happens to be one of the best players to play basketball in the history of the game, in Kobe Bryant. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Matt in Philly. Matt, you're on the Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How's it going? You know, definitely a sad topic to talk about. You know, when I got the news, I was kind of crushed. You know, he was my idol growing up. Playing youth basketball, you know, those little trading cards, they always asked you who your favorite player was. Everyone I played with always said, like, AI or that, and Kobe was always my guy. So definitely, you know, it hit me a little hard today. He was my favorite player all my life. Definitely it was a crushing blow, getting that news, seeing it, you know, via, you know, Twitter, via text messages, things like that on Facebook. You just never, you know, you never take people for granted. You know, it makes you want to hold your loved ones tight. You never know when their last day could be. You know, like you said, you know, he was, you know, he had no intention of, you know, this being his last helicopter ride or anything like that. Definitely was a low blow.
What was it about Kobe Bryant that made you such a fan?
The mentality, like, you know, he had that mentality. You know, just seeing that, you know, the play where, you know, inbounding with Matt Barnes, throwing a ball at his face, he didn't flinch. You know, he was,
I love that
never
clip.
Never scared to take that shot. You know, it was he was that player. Like, you can always say you hate him. Everyone hates LeBron. He's great, but you know, no one really truly hated Kobe Bryant. You know, in my opinion, because you know he beat us in the finals, but he's still, you know, he's a Philly guy. You know, he played his heart out every game, and it definitely, like, it sucks. You know, you know, basically getting this news. Definitely the sad day for the city of Philadelphia, for the NBA world. Anyone for a true basketball fan, it's a sad day.
Yeah, it is, Matt. Thanks so much for the phone call, man. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I said it just because I want to be transparent with you guys. I'm not a Kobe fan. I wasn't a Kobe fan when he played, but for basketball purposes, how could you not be? You know, you wanted a guy like Kobe out there. You wanted a guy that you could kind of put your skills up against. And when the Lakers were the Kobe Bryant-led Shaq Lakers, you circled that game as a fan and said, okay, that's the game that will show us who we are. That's the game that will show
us how good are the Sixers. Yeah. How good, you know, think about this Lakers run, the dynasty they had. I mean, there were teams in the West that you looked at from the West and you went, wow, they're good. Yeah. Are they Lakers good?
Oh, I mean, the Kings were a prime example. The Kings should have won an NBA championship.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep.
You know,
I think Portland was in that conversation for
sure. You know, whatever team it was, the Sonics, whatever team it was, you were always saying, are they Lakers good? Are they good or are they Lakers good? You know, it's like the 2010s. Are they good or are they Warriors good? Now, Nobody was Warriors good, but, you know, you put it into perspective of how good these teams really were. When you're able to compare one team,
it crushes me because my guy and Allen Iverson unfortunately never got a championship because of Kobe Bryant. And look, what's Kobe Bryant supposed to do, right? Gift wrap him a championship? Obviously not. I wanted one. I don't like seeing all time greats not win the chip. And my guy was always Allen Iverson because I was born here and I resonated with AI as. He was like my first. He wasn't my first favorite player. That was Charles Barkley, but the first one that I really, really, really remember was AI. And I wanted him to have a championship. Kobe Bryant got in the way, and I kind of never forgave him for that. But once again, what is he supposed to do, right?
I don't think he's going to let him win. Sorry, Pat.
No, he's not. And he shouldn't. He shouldn't let him win. It's not like AI would have handed him a championship. AI did all he could to win one. So, you know. While I never liked him as a player just because he was so damn good, damn if I didn't respect him. Damn if I didn't respect his work ethic and his grind. And there was, you never worried about his give a you know what level. It was there.
You know what you sound like right now? You know that scene at the end of Anchorman?
610-632-0975. Yes, I know what you're sitting here talking about. We got a prank. We're discussing the life and times of Kobe Bryant. He unfortunately passed away today at the age of 41 in a helicopter accident. His 13-year-old daughter was tragically with him, along with eight others. It's Patty and Tyler Zuli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alright, so I've teased this cut long enough, and we just haven't been able to get to it because we've had some phone calls and just, I feel like, pretty good discussion regarding the life of Kobe Bryant. If you're unaware, I apologize for being the one to tell you, but Kobe Bryant tragically passed away today at the age of 41 in a helicopter crash. His 13-year-old daughter was also on the helicopter with him, along with eight others. It's a terrible, terrible story. But I do want to get into this cut from Kobe talking about his mentality. And I think this is a reason, and we just had a caller bring it up, about why so many fans in this area had gravitated towards Kobe Bryant and the way he played the game.
If your job is to try to be the best basketball player you can be, you want to train as much as you can, as often as you can. Imagine you wake up at 3, you train at 4, 4 to 6, come home, breakfast, relax. Now you're back at it again, 9 to 11, right? You relax, and now all of a sudden you're back at it again, 2 to 4. And now you're back at it again, 7 to 9. Look how much more training I have done by simply starting at 4. So now you do that, and as the years go on, the separation that you have with your competitors, competitors and your peers just grows larger and larger and larger and larger and larger. By year 5 or 6, doesn't matter what kind of work they do in the summer, they're never going to catch up. So to me, it was just common sense. I'm like thinking, how can I get an advantage? Start early.
I mean, that's a work ethic that you teach somebody. Like, I mean, you want your child to have that work ethic. You want that child to have that drive of, okay, hey, I can be great, but if I want to be elite, I have to put in the time and the work.
I got
to
tell you something. I don't know if you can teach that work ethic.
It's tough.
You could instill a mindset, but like I look at that and I go, there were things that my dad told me and that my coaches told me that I either accepted or didn't accept. And the things that I didn't accept, I look back and I say, man, I probably should have, because they were only looking out for my best interest and to make me a better player, a better athlete, a better man.
Yeah.
But there's a certain ceiling where someone can tell you to do a certain thing, and at some point, they can't give you any more motivation. At some point, that motivation has to come from within. And I don't know if there are many athletes, I don't know if there are many human beings that have the drive that Kobe did.
Yeah, there's probably not. I think it helped that he was raised by a former pro athlete.
I'm sure it did.
Jelly Bean Bryant, and he probably wanted to be better than his dad. And I brought it up earlier, but a guy that is probably the closest thing to him is Steph Curry. And I say that because, and you could find this cut on YouTube, but years ago, one of the guys at the ABCD basketball camp was discussing this with the campers. And he said a couple years ago, so at this point, it's probably 10 years ago because the cut's old. He said, we had all these McDonald's All-Americans at the famous Nike ABCD camp. And he said the least known kid was Steph Curry. And Steph Curry would get out there an hour before everybody else arrived and put up 1,000 to 3,000 shots. I mean, just that alone, before the workouts even start, and guys are just taking their shoes off, he's already put in a full day's work. He wouldn't leave the court until he swished 10 straight threes in a row. And the whole message was, you can't teach this. But also,
no, you can't.
At times, we like to think that the greatest players, it's just God-given. And sometimes it is.
Yeah, the talent
sometimes
is.
Sometimes it
is.
But they put so much work into it that if you want to be that upper echelon, if you want to be that elite, you have to put the work in. And with a guy like Steph Curry and a guy like Kobe Bryant, yeah, okay, they were probably always going to be NBA players. But they put the work in. They put the effort in.
Yes.
And that is something that you can pass on to future generations, of telling the stories of these guys and saying, you know, look, you can have all the talent in the world, but you look at a guy like Antonio Brown, you can also piss it away, and you don't want to be that guy. If you want to be great, you got to put the work in. And that was something that, I'll be honest, I didn't have it. I hated going to practice. Hated it. I wanted to play games. Practice. I was a 7-year-old Allen Iverson. But instead of playing basketball, I was on the ice. Hated practice. Still hate practice. If refs don't show up and the game doesn't count, I'm leaving. And
you,
I didn't have that mindset.
You don't appreciate practice until you're done playing. You don't appreciate practice until
you suck at the sport. You don't appreciate practice.
Even not only that, you don't appreciate practice until one of two things happen. You don't appreciate practice until you get outworked or outclassed, and you realize that you needed to practice, or you see, if you get a particular situation where you get practice and this situation came up in practice because your coach instilled the right practice game plan and then it worked, or you remember, you know, from film study, this guy throws this pitch in this spot, this team runs this cover two in this particular play, and you succeed. That's when you realize how important practice is.
Yeah,
practice on the everyday level does it stinks. You're right. It stinks to go to practice.
I realized I needed practice when I realized I wasn't good at sports, but it was too late.
But
that's
fair.
It was too late.
No, that's fair.
Couldn't improve anymore. To echo your point, you look at Chase Utley, and what do you always hear when former teammates talk about Chase Utley? It's his work ethic, and I've never seen a guy watch that much film. Chase Utley was incredible. I mean, this guy was drafted in the second round out of high school and in the first round out of college. And he was drafted, I think, 15th overall. He had all the ability, but he put in the time. And you see that from Kobe Bryant, where he had all the ability in the world, but there was also stuff behind the scenes that you necessarily didn't see that he was also putting in the work. And I think that's very admirable. And while I'll keep saying it just because I want to be transparent with the listeners out there, I wasn't a Kobe Bryant fan. I respect the hell out of him because of that fact, because you can't deny a man's work ethic. And he put the time in. Let's go to Bill in KOP, who wants to talk a little Kobe Bryant. Bill, you're on the Fanatic.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for the time. I wasn't planning to call in because I'm not the biggest Kobe fan, because at 16 years old, when he said he wanted to rip our hearts out, it hurt. You're Philly to the core, and it was kind of like a smack in the face.
Absolutely. And then you get over it because you realize, okay, well, what is he supposed to do?
That's true, and it took a little while to realize. But at the same time, the topic you guys are talking about today is near and dear to my heart. I had an uncle who passed away in his sleep at 32, 33 years old, just in his sleep, passed. And then I had another uncle who was working on the Wachovia Center and actually fell because he was an iron worker, survived that. And then one of our guys' men's weekends up the mountains was in the back of a pickup truck. They hit a pothole, and he never woke up again. So it's something that I didn't want to call about because I'm not the biggest Kobe fan.
Yeah, but you've been
in the world. I respect his opinion, but at the same time, I mean, the whole topic that you guys are discussing of let little things go and let life be life and enjoy every moment you have really hit home. Like I said, I'm not the biggest Kobe fan, but as a player, I respect the hell out of him. I respect the killer mentality, and I respect the fact that he was willing to say, guess what? I'm from your hometown, but I have a chance to win a title. I do want to rip your hearts out, and I do want to win that championship.
Yeah.
And it's
a
very emotional day. I didn't find out till about 3 o'clock from my coworker when he looked at me and he said, did you hear the news? I said, what news? And I haven't been on my phone all day. And he said, Kobe died. I said, Kobe who? He said, Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for the phone call because we're up against it. It's a story that you will remember for the rest of your life, where you were when Kobe Bryant passed away. I mean, I will, you will, and we all will, because whether you liked him or not, Bill wasn't a big fan of him. Neither am I. I mean, but it's just, you got to respect what the man did on the court, and we lost an all-time great today. Way too early. And possibly, I mean, more importantly, because I just think it's more tragic, we lost a 13-year-old girl who had her whole life in front of her and who had dreams and aspirations. And, you know, when you talk about Kobe Bryant, 41, gone too soon. I mean, Gigi Bryant, 13. You know, 41's gone too soon. What the hell's 13? You know, and if you've got kids out there tonight, I mean, just, you know, give them a hug. Be with them, because it's tough. I'm not trying to be all deep and emotional and whatnot, but it's an emotional time. I mean, this losing a guy like Kobe Bryant at the age of 41 and his daughter makes you realize just how special and precious life is.
And I know that Kobe is the big name, and we've said this a couple of times. Don't forget the other people on that helicopter.
Yeah,
you know, a wife, a daughter.
And they have families, they have friends that will never see them and talk to them again.
Kobe's the story because he's the name.
Yeah.
But don't forget the other eight.
Yep. 610-632-0975. One more segment to go. Dan in Omaha, we will get to you next. It is Pat Egan, Tyler Zulli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.